Today on Annenberg Radio News.
What's like the number one thing you think nobody knows about you?
I'm not a disrespectful type of dude.
We'll meet students who were once in jail and are sharing their intimate stories with one young woman. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 5th, 2012. I'm Benjamin Gottlieb. A member of computer hacking group Lowell's secretary pleaded guilty today to federal charges of hacking into Sony Entertainment's system. 24-year-old Cody Kretzinger is charged with one count each of conspiracy and unauthorized impairment of a protected computer. Last year's hacking into Sony's system cost more than $600,000 in damages. Kretzinger faces up to 15 years in prison when he is sentenced in July. Today, Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa bubbled with enthusiasm for the upcoming Ciclovia Festival, which shuts down city streets to car traffic and opens them up to pedestrians and bikers. Emily Frost reports on the city's ongoing effort to support alternative ways of getting around.
Grab your bike, but don't forget your helmet. Ciclovia is back. The free event will bring people out by the thousands to bike, rollerblade, and walk next Sunday, April 15th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The city is closing down 10 miles of streets to cars, and Councilmember Tom Labange thinks that's a good thing. He says getting out of cars and onto bikes allows people to see the city in ways they haven't before.
I tell people to get lost and found in L.A., and Ciclovia is a great way to do it.
Ciclovia event planners think more than 100,000 people will participate. The festival is part of the city's effort to provide a more sustainable L.A. and encourage people to use other types of transportation. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa hopes Ciclovia can help drivers and bikers learn to share the streets.
So the message is the same for all Angelenos. Drive safely, be courteous, follow the rules, and share the road.
Marilyn Dwellingham is a member of the Real Rider Low Rider Bike Club and believes Ciclovia has helped bike safety.
They watch out for us more. They move over when they see us coming. Even if it's one or two of us, I've noticed that. They give us the road. They give us a lane.
Aaron Paley is the co-founder of Ciclovia and also thinks it brings the Los Angeles community together.
People run into each other. People see each other that they haven't seen in a long time. They see their best friends and go, I can't believe you're here.
And if you don't have a bike, Bike Nation will be lending 100 bikes for rent at Ciclovia to the first 100 people who sign up. Villaraigosa also announced a new Spanish language bike safety campaign and hopes to expand it to other languages like Mandarin and Korean. And people won't just see their neighbors and friends biking next weekend. They may even see Mayor Villaraigosa, since he says that he plans to hop on a bike too. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
Students at Santa Monica College marched to their president's office today to protest a new fee hike program and the violent reaction it's caused. Our Rosalie Murphy reports from the protest.
The whole world is watching!
Santa Monica College students hope the whole world is watching their battle against a controversial new tuition system. Today, about 50 students marched to College President Chui Tseng's office. The event was peaceful, but on Tuesday night, protesting didn't end well for freshman Kaylee Wade and about 30 of her classmates, who tried to go to the Board of Trustees meeting.
They opened the door to let some students in, and it was a joint decision that we would all attempt to go in. But they took that as, like, combative behavior by us, and they pepper sprayed us.
There was one discharge of pepper spray used by a Santa Monica College police officer to preserve public and personal safety.
SMC Public Information Officer Bruce Smith.
Unfortunately, a number of bystanders, including college staff, students, and other police personnel, were affected.
What students are angry about is a two-tiered tuition system. It's a summer pilot program that would charge students extra money to guarantee spaces in some of the college's most crowded classes. First-year student Donald Gray says it just isn't fair.
With the community college system being a cornerstone of education as a tool for impoverished families for the next generation to come out of poverty. When you begin a two-tiered program, but when you give priority to the affluent over the impoverished, it creates a system and it's not going to be able to sustain itself in the future.
Yesterday, California Community College Chancellor Jack Scott asked President Tseng to put the program on hold. Smith says they're reviewing it, but
no decisions have been made at this point. So at this point, we're moving ahead with the program.
Even after Kaylee Wade's confrontation with police, she says students will continue to fight.
Santa Monica College is seen as this like progressive, liberal, diverse campus, you know, and a lot of community colleges look to us. This decision would affect every community college because every community college would be like, yeah, then that's a good idea then, you know? And a community college is supposed to be something that's equal opportunity for everyone. And
students certainly haven't won the war against rising college fees, but in Santa Monica, they're determined to win this battle. Rosalie Murphy, Annenberg Radio News.
Union janitors, interfaith leaders, and community supporters took to the streets in Century City this afternoon. The rally was organized by SEIU, United Service Workers West. The union presented a number of demands to California contractors, including better wages, affordable health care, and respect for immigrant communities. The workers claim the state's contractors are sitting on nearly $500 billion in cash. Today at City Hall, AEG released a critical piece of its project to build a stadium in downtown Los Angeles. That important piece is a 10,000-page environmental impact report. But as Melissa Runnels reports, the true purpose of the event was to showcase the union's support for the stadium.
These are all proud members of unions, is that correct?
Yeah.
These are all union members who are looking for work, is that correct?
Yeah.
And these are all union members that support Farmers Field, is that correct?
Yeah.
Several dozen union members under the umbrella of the AFL-CIO came out to show their support for the project. Maria Elena Durazo, president of the AFL-CIO, says,
"There will be thousands of new construction jobs, but I want to also mention there will be 11,000 new permanent jobs. New permanent jobs."
And the jobs don't come without the environmental impact report. The EIR, a 10,000-page study that took 2 years and 200 community meetings to complete, was extra thorough, says Tim Lewicki, president of AEG, who calls it the world's most expensive document. It ensures that AEG can tell the NFL that all the political, economic, and social agreements are in place. There won't be any last-minute surprises. With all the ducks in a row, says Lewicki,
"We will take the economic wins of Farmers Field and use it to fix the convention center once and for all and bring us into the top five convention markets in the United States." You should applaud that. That's important.
Important because if the NFL gives the stadium a team, then the team draws tourists and profits. With the profits come upgrades to the convention center, and with the upgraded convention center come hotels, restaurants, and retail shops. Carol Schatz, president of the Central City Association, says,
"It is about an entire economic uplift, not only for downtown Los Angeles, which is the regional economic hub, but for the entire city of Los Angeles."
But an analyst for the state's legislative budget office says, maybe not. Mark Whitaker, senior legislative analyst, says these projects often take dollars consumers might be spending anyway, on a nice dinner out, for instance, and just transfers them to the stadium. So that's not new dollars.
In general, consumers have a fixed amount of money they can spend on entertainment. And so they're going to spend that amount of money. It's just a question of, are they spending it at the stadium or are they spending it somewhere else in the region?
But the union workers simply look forward to the jobs. Adolfo Gámez, United Service Workers West.
"We want jobs that bring quality jobs to our city. And that's why I'm 100% in support, along with all the ticket takers, ushers, security, and janitorial workers."
With solid union support for the project, and if all the necessary approvals come through, which is likely, construction at Farmers Field will begin next year and be finished in 2017. For Annenberg Radio News, I'm Melissa Runnels.
And now for the weather. We're looking at a chilly Thursday evening with lows in the upper 40s. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with highs in the low 70s and an overnight low of 49. Saturday could be one of your first beach days this spring. Highs are expected in the upper 70s in the afternoon. Later on Annenberg Radio News, the filmmaker behind a documentary about sex trafficking in the U.S. tells us about an underground world right here in our own neighborhoods. Perhaps no community is more famous for feeding California's overflowing prisons than South Central Los Angeles. And no one knows this better than folks who work at a school that accepts kids who have been in prison. In the latest installment of our 20-something series, Jake DeGrazia reports on a young woman who wants to make change by broadcasting intimate conversations.
Well, when you think about your life, what's the one thing that you fear the most?
Probably to lose my peoples.
Lose them how?
Get shot, anything to have them stop living.
Next to the camera sits Claudia Gomez. She wears tight jeans, Air Jordans, hoop earrings, and long pink fingernails. She's 20 years old, and she's interviewing Chris Carter, one of the students she works with. He's 19, and he got out of prison 2 weeks ago.
What's like the number one thing you think nobody knows about you that now we're gonna know?
I'm not really, like, I'm not a disrespectful type of dude. Like, my insides, like, I ain't disrespectful. No.
That's cool. I knew that. Cool.
Thank you.
Claudia's studio is a classroom at Free LA High, a charter school many of whose students have spent time in the correctional system. Claudia's first year working at the school, she ran the front desk and mentored struggling students. Then she met documentary filmmaker Jennifer Maitarena Taylor, and her responsibilities grew.
It all started like last summer. Jennifer was like doing interviews on like, does prison make you a better person? And I just happened to one day be around.
Claudia had never used a camera before, but she was a natural. And in January, Jennifer hired Claudia to co-produce a series of short documentaries about the Free LA community for public broadcasting. Claudia works on all aspects of the project. She films, helps edit, organizes shoots. She's at her best, though, when she's sitting across from a student or colleague and the camera is on.
Like, after the interviews, like, I had some of them come up to me and be like, man, I hadn't thought about that question, or I hadn't thought about my life in that way.
For Claudia, the filmmaking is an opportunity to connect deeper into her community. She grew up in South Central. When she was 12, she watched her sister get shot and killed by an ex-boyfriend. She spent the next 5 years angry, fighting, on the streets. Then she got pregnant and pulled it together. Now she works with kids like the one she used to be.
Sometimes I have to step out of my role as a mentor and step into myself and who I am as a person, and that's how I'll talk to them. Have you ever had a family member get killed?
No. Well, my friend, just a friend. But
I mean, a friend, something.
Yeah. Well, two of my friends died in a fire, and then one of my friends got shot.
And do you feel like the person who shot your friend deserves another chance? I love it. I love doing like this documentary stuff, because when you see these people that we are interviewing, like, you'll never know how deep their story is by just looking at them. Like, you'll never know how like beautiful they are.
Beautiful and fragile. Chris Carter, the young man Claudia was talking to at the beginning of this story, was murdered about a month after that interview. He was the second Free LA student shot in the head and killed this semester.
Part of this job is to see people come and go, you know? Whether they come and go because they want to, or they come and go because they die.
Tears are flowing, but Claudia's face and voice don't change. She reaches for a roll of scratchy gray paper towels and tears off a piece.
His family, like, you know, they have to see that interview. Like, he was just so pure and, like, so honest and so humble and so, I'm not rude, I'm very polite, and people always think that because I have tattoos on my face, I'm this certain way. Like, I'm really glad that we got to interview him and for him to reflect on himself. Because after that day, he was like, man, you know, I feel good. Are you happy?
Yep, stay happy.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
You look really serious.
I do. I am serious.
Jake DeGrazia, Annenberg Radio News.
captain who previously headed the L.A. County Sheriff's Station in Avalon is under investigation amid allegations about his cozy relationship with a former inmate. Frank Carrillo is a professional golfer turned jewel thief. He says last summer, Captain Jeff Donahue escorted him in a patrol jeep to a hilltop golf course where he gave the captain pointers on how to improve his swing. Sheriff's officials are forbidden from fraternizing with inmates. Excursions off-site are rarely granted and require special security clearances. Yeah. Harold and Bell's has been a popular restaurant in the Jefferson Park community for years. Ownership of the restaurant recently switched hands to the grandson of the original owners. Andrea Kowalczyk reports on the difficulties this third-generation restaurant faces.
In 1969, New Orleans transplants Harold and Bell Legault opened a new hotspot in the Jefferson Park area of Los Angeles. Creole food, atmosphere, jazz music, and good drinks were served every night at Harold and Bell's. It became an institution.
It is the local watering hole for most people in the community who were, I guess you would consider movers or shakers in our community.
That was Reverend Eric Lee, one of the many business and political leaders in the area who visits Harold and Bell's two or three times a week. It's like an extended family, and one that's very protective of one another. Inside, Harold and Bell's is like a time capsule, transporting you back to the restaurant's glory days in 1969. It's the same beige wallpaper, same tables, same bar stools, even some of the same people. The only thing that's changed is the addition of more and more family photos on the wall. Ryan Legault, general manager of the restaurant and grandson of the original Harold and Bell, is featured in many of those photos. But times have been tough, and sales are down 30% from just a few years ago. When Ryan's father, Harold Jr., passed away last year, his mother and her business partners considered closing it all down.
I told him, no, you know, stick it out. If you can, I'd like to, you know, take it over and you know, create more business for it, you know, and kind of keep it going.
They agreed, but Legault would not be getting a family discount. To finance his dream, he applied for a $2.6 million loan from the federal government. Though he has been approved by the city council, Legault hasn't yet received federal approval. He remains optimistic.
Our intentions are good, and we're straightforward as to what we're trying to do.
Legault says he'll keep the doors open with or without the loan. He owes it to his family.
At this point, it also is a family legacy. You know, it's my grandparents' name on the building, on the business. It's my parents' hard work for 30-plus years. It's now my career for the past 10-plus years. When I have a family on my own, it's going to be a part of their legacy, too.
The world has changed outside in 42 years, but inside, Harold and Bell's is still serving the same food, drinks, and the same family. Andrea Kowalczyk, Annenberg Radio News.
When we think about human trafficking, the illegal trade of human beings for commercial sexual exploitation and or forced labor, it's easy to dismiss it as a problem confined to the developing world. But sex trafficking of women is a real problem here in the United States. And in Los Angeles in particular, it's a hotbed for trafficking. The State Department estimates that there are more than 100,000 sex slaves in the United States. The average age of the girls sold into slavery? Between the ages of 12 and 14. I spoke with Kristen Ross Lauterbach, the director of Flesh, a shocking documentary which calls into question our definitions of slavery, human trafficking, and prostitution in the U.S.
The average age of entry into prostitution in the U.S. is, like you said, 12 to 14 years old. These are vulnerable kids, and they find themselves in compromising situations, usually due to problems in their home life or other variable factors that allow them to be vulnerable, lack of self-esteem, so forth and so on. And you see the same cases over and over again in terms of different cases, but the same story.
Now here in Los Angeles, are there certain pockets or certain communities where this is rampant?
There is a street language that's used for where girls will prostitute on the streets, and they're called tracks. And there are specific tracks in Los Angeles where girls will be known to walk the streets.
And where are those exactly?
There's various different ones. There's one on Figueroa, there's one on Sepulveda, there's one on Western. So there are various different areas, and it will depend on how the police enforcement is in those areas. If they're hot, meaning like are the police out enforcing those areas more, or are they in different parts of the city? The law enforcement can't be everywhere all the time. So they'll find the places that have cooled off, move the girls around. They move them from city to city. They don't stay in the same city. They move them in a circuit.
Now, can you talk a little bit about this idea of slavery? Because I think that's a really important comparison that people don't necessarily understand when talking about child sex trafficking.
This is the best illustration that I usually give for people in terms of the U.S. sex trafficking versus overseas sex trafficking. We look at a 13-year-old girl in a brothel in Bangkok very differently than we look at a 13-year-old girl working the streets in Compton or Detroit, Toledo, name a city in the U.S. There's no difference between those two girls. The girls in the United States are under the control of a pimp or a trafficker, and they are beaten, abused, mentally, physically, just like those girls are overseas.
Is it that we just don't want to believe that this is happening on our own shores?
Yeah, I think that there is a idea that this can't be happening in my neighborhood. It's okay when it's overseas because it's different, it's over there, that's where it happens, but not in my backyard. We think that the girls overseas don't have a choice. We think that the girls in the United States have a choice. We think that the girls in the United States can go up to law enforcement, they could tell somebody, they could get out. But these traffickers tell these girls, I know where your family lives, I know where your sister lives, I know where your mother lives. If you go, I will kill your family. It's the same type of language that's used with girls around the world.
Now, if you see any suspicious behavior, you're encouraged to call the human trafficking hotline at 888-373-7888. Adam West, the actor famous for his portrayal of Batman, received a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame today. West made a record 156 individual screen appearances as Batman from 1966 to 1968 in the ABC series. The ceremony this afternoon displayed a Batmobile. I could really use one of those. Now we check in with Nuha Abu-Jabbar to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Tonight on ATVN, a dredging project in Marina del Rey will remove sediment built up in an entry channel that could keep the Coast Guard from saving lives. More on that at 6. Also, a new Kony video has been released today to comment on the success of the first 2012 video and what else needs to be done. And finally, USC football is moving in a new home next fall. And today, members of the sports media were given a tour of the new facility. All that and much more tonight at 6.
Nuha, thank you so much. Got any plans for Sunday's Easter celebration?
Yeah, sure. Some, you know, family stuff going on. Maybe a family lunch. I don't know. We'll see.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Madeline Lindsay, Heather Ritchie, and Annenberg TV News. Esther King is our producer. Emily Frost is our executive producer. And from all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Benjamin Gottlieb. Thank you so much.